Revival, October 4th through the 7th. Please mark that down on your calendar to be here, to be a part of this. You'll not want to miss it on the 4th when we start it off on that Sunday evening. It's going to start at 7 p.m., but then Monday through Wednesday, we'll be at 6:30. Okay, so note that and make that, put that down. And you know, if you got to miss a ball game, miss a ball game. It'll be well worth it. It'll be well worth it. Try to make that a priority this coming week as we come to that. Is that the last announcement? Is that it, Jackson? Okay, that's what I thought. Make sure. All right, so good deal. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God this morning, and I hope you're enjoying this new series on the church. And as we go into this, I would ask you to stand for the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Ephesians 2, 13 through 22. He's speaking to Gentile believers who've been brought in into the household of faith, and how that is done. And we'll look at this as we read through this. Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, talking about the Gentiles, have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, Jesus, who made both groups, the two groups are the Jews and the Gentiles, into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God. How? Through the cross. By it, having put to death the enmity. And he, this is Jesus, came and preached peace to you who are far away, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, Jews. For through him, and who's the him? Jesus, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come and hear from you, from your word, to what the church is about and how beautiful it is to be a part of this wonderful thing that we call church. I pray, God, that you'd help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we look in this series, we've been asking some questions. Church, you know, church. Oh, yeah, church. And we've asked, you know, well, whose idea and why? Well, it was God's idea. And it was his idea to gather his people to himself, to redeem his people. And then last week we looked at, well, who leads the church? Well, Jesus leads his church. And he places leaders for the good of his church. And this morning, I want to ask this question, well, why be part of a church? Why be part of a church? And in our culture, if you can kind of sense what's going on around us, and you kind of hear, especially the hearts of the younger generation coming up, it seems today that there's many people who want to be involved in a cause. Would you agree? Like, they just want to be part of a movement. You know, I want to be a part of this movement. I'll be a social activist. Well, I'll be a political activist. Or I want to raise the awareness of this. Or I want to fight for the rights of that. And we have there's just all kinds of things going on in our culture where you can pour your life into a cause or a movement or some type of activity. And I think there needs to be some questions that we ask before we venture off into some type of movement. For one, why this one? Why would I be a part of this particular movement or cause? Who's leading this movement? Is this person, you know, someone that I can count on? Are they being someone leading this direction? Is it this person trustworthy? I think another question we can ask is it worth my time, my energy, my resources, and my life to pour myself into this cause? And another question I think that we've got to ask ourselves before we dive into an awareness or a cause or a movement is, does it have any eternal significance behind it? And is it true? Because here's what I want to argue this morning, and I want to lay out before you. Is that although there may be many movements and causes, and some of them may be good causes, there is only one great movement or great cause that's worthy of all of our time, energy, resources, and life. And it's a movement started about 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and came to earth and walked the streets and took on our sin at the cross of Calvary, was put into a tomb and rose again. And he said, I will build my church. The church is the greatest movement or cause that you can ever be a part of. Join that one. It's the greatest movement ever, and Jesus started it. It's the greatest cause, and it's a movement that's been going on and will continue to go on until this world ends. If this world goes on another 1,000 or 2,000 years, the church will still be alive. Are you aware of that? So if you want to be wrapped up in a cause, how about the cause of Christ? If you want to be involved in a movement, how about a movement in the grace of God? If you want to be an activist, how about being an activist for Jesus' sake? And so we have all these movements around, and I want to challenge you to get involved in his movement of the church that is founded with the best mission possible. And the reason why it's such a great movement, for one, it's founded on the right person, Jesus. We saw in verse 20, Ephesians 2 there, that it says that Christ is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. Do you realize what a cornerstone is? The cornerstone in any building that was built, the cornerstone is the first and most important stone that is laid. It is the chief stone that is laid. And if the cornerstone was straight, then every other stone in that building would naturally be in its proper place. But if the cornerstone was just off slightly, the whole building would be off. That's how important the cornerstone is. Can I tell you that our faith is grounded in the right person? His name is Jesus. And he is the cornerstone. And then if we build our life upon the cornerstone of Christ, then everything about our life will be straight. There's only one cornerstone. You can't lay the cornerstone and another cornerstone beside of it and say both of these are going to be the cornerstone. There's only one. And I know in our politically correct world, we don't like to hear that there's only one way to the Father. But there's only one cornerstone. All religions aren't the same. It's a lie. I don't care how many of us can get on the stage from different faiths and stand and talk to one another and hold hands to one another. All religions are not the same. There is one cornerstone. His name is Jesus. Islam doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We do. The Jewish faith does not teach that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. We believe that. Buddhism doesn't believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. We believe that. They're all not the same. There is one cornerstone, and his name is Jesus. And if we don't build our life and faith around that cornerstone, all of our life is off alignment. It will not last and it will not stand. So the church is founded on the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is our cornerstone. He is our rock of salvation. He is the rock that the builders rejected. It is about Jesus. He started his church. He will complete his church. And he's coming back for his church. It's all about Christ. Let me ask you this question. Are you building your life around the cornerstone? Are you building your relationships around Christ? Are you building your work ethic and the way that you live out your faith at your workplace? Is that a do you have a Christ-centered work ethic? Your finances, are they Christ-centered or flesh-centered? Because many of us, man, we can use our money to do a lot for our fleshly desires, can't we? But are we investing in the kingdom of God? Our intimate relationships, are they cross-centered? Are our activities, the things, the way that we live, the way that we move, the way that we speak, are they Christ-centered? Are they centered on Christ, or is it Christ? And we put Jesus here, and then we put our other wishes and desires and thoughts and philosophies a little bit above. I take a little bit of Jesus. I take a little bit of the cornerstone. Now you got to take it all. A half gospel is no gospel. Just having half of Jesus in your life isn't having Jesus in your life. Is he the cornerstone or isn't he? Are you building your life on the rock? Remember, Jesus said the wise man builds his house upon the rock. And who is the wise man? He compares the wise man to the one who hears his words and acts upon them. That's the wise man. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds it on sand. Our own fleshly, worldly pursuits and desires, our own philosophies, education, religions, those won't stand. But anyone who builds on a rock, when the rains come, the floods come, it will not tear the house down. How many of y'all building on Christ? It's founded on the right person, then the apostles and the prophets, the foundation that the apostles and the prophets lay. We get to build on that. Through the Word of God, we've been given the truths about God, and everything we do just builds upon what they've already laid down. Isn't that exciting to know that the faith that is handed down to us through the apostles and the prophets, through the Word of God, we continue that on. We're part of that movement. Do you see that? We're part of a movement that started way before we ever got here, and that will last way before we're gone. It's eternal. There's only one movement that's worth giving your life, energy, time, resources, and your whole life to, and that is the church. Because it's founded on who? It's founded by the right person, and it's also founded on the right, with the right purpose. What's the purpose? We read there in Ephesians that the purpose was to bring us out of darkness and into light. Those who were far away to be brought near through the blood of Jesus. The purpose is so that we might be redeemed and forgiven from our sin. So that we might have eternal life. That we might live forever. Do you realize that if you never come to the point of placing your faith and trust in Jesus, when you die, you will not have eternal life. Because life is found in who? Jesus. We're all going to die one day. Right? I know when you're young, you kind of don't think about that. But we're all going to die one day. And what happens to your soul, I think, is very important. Wouldn't you agree? Where you spend eternity, because you're going to live in eternity a lot longer than you live on this earth. Right? Say you live to be 100 years. That's just a blink of an eye compared to eternity. You better know Jesus. You better have your life built on the cornerstone of Christ. that you know him, that you've surrendered him, that you've said, Lord Jesus, I need you. Guess what? Those of us who are Christians this morning, we're not better than everybody, right? It's not like, hey, we're so much smarter and we're better than anyone. All those people who don't know Jesus, all those sinners, you know, like we're so smart and wonderful. No, we've just been forgiven and set free. There was a time and a moment in our life when the Holy Spirit spoke to our heart and said, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. How many of y'all can admit this, that you're not perfect, that you've sinned? Okay, good. Now, I know we're living in a culture now where we've given everybody a medal just for participating and everybody thinks they're perfect. And we're all winners and all... But no, that's not the truth. We've all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. And there was a moment when the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and said, you can't do it. Listen to what the message is saying. Listen to the voice of the truth of the Holy Spirit that Jesus came to die for you. And there was a moment when you called out and said, Jesus, you might not have said these exact words, but you said something similar to this. You said, Jesus, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I realize I can't save myself. I can't do enough good to go to heaven. I need you, Lord. What you did on the cross is for me. Save me and forgive me my sin. And you did it. And guess what happened? The Holy Spirit delivered you. And he came into your life and he sealed you for the day of redemption. And you became a child of God. So this morning, if you're not a believer, guess what? He wants you to be a part of his movement. He wants you to be a part of his cause. He loves you with an everlasting love that he died for you so that you might know him, so that you might those who are far away can be brought near by the blood of Jesus. Do you hear that? If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, and today he speaks to you and he says, come, join this movement. Come, I want to forgive you. I want to give you grace. I want to give you life. I want to give you hope. Don't turn it down. Come run and say, man, I need to know Jesus. I want to be a part of this great movement called the church. And guess what? We get to be a part of this. Because it goes on in that Ephesians passage, it talks about how we're the stones. We're little stones. We're not the stone. There's only one stone, and that is who? Jesus. And the rest of us are all little stones being built up together for a holy dwelling of God, so that God's glory might be revealed through us. Every stone's important. You realize you're important? Every single one of you, you're important to God's kingdom. You're one of his stones that he's using to build his glorious house, his dwelling, so that his spirit can move and speak and breathe to a lost and dying world, and so that the gospel might be proclaimed. And so that he might be glorified. We get to show and radiate the glory of God. We're saying that, right? We are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We are to proclaim the goodness and the riches of God's great blessings. What movement can you be a part of that's greater than that? What cause can you invest your life in that's greater than lifting up the true God and displaying his grace to a hopeless world? What other movement can you be a part of that's greater than that? Huh? Tell me. I don't know of any. The church is founded on the right person with the right purpose, carried out by Christ's people through Christ's power. The church is founded on the right person with the right purpose, carried out by Christ's people through Christ's power. Y'all remember Acts 1:8? Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So we are called into this movement by his grace, and we are empowered to live out this movement by his grace. It is through him that we can accomplish this great task. And this great task is we get to live out the church. We get to be the mouth and the hands and the eyes and the ears. We get to live out the gospel among a lost world so that people can come to know how great of God we serve. I'm going to step down. This isn't the ending. Okay, so don't get your hopes up. But wow, this is short. Yay, amen. I want to step down just for a moment because I want to interact with you just for a bit because I want you to see this movement and what we're able to be a part of and how we're empowered to be a part of it and what it was unleashed when Peter preached the message in Acts and 2 and over 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. And it says in Acts 2:42, it says that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. How do we activate this movement? How do we participate in this movement? Well, we're to be lifelong learners of Jesus. We're to be committed to his teaching. And when we talk about learning, it's not just about listening to the word. It's not just about knowing the word. It's about living the word. Maturity and discipleship and knowledge in scripture is based on obedience, not knowledge. Hear me. Because we've programmed discipleship into a study rather than an obedience. And so when we study the Word of God and we get His truth and He tells us to go do something, then the mature believer acts upon that. Do you get it? It's not just knowing a lot about the Scripture, it's obeying the Scripture that we need to be committed to. Because if I know to love someone, but yet I don't love someone, am I really applying that verse? If I know that I'm supposed to give generously, but I don't give generously, am I actually applying that verse? Well, everybody went silent on that one. No. If I know that I'm to forgive, but yet I don't forgive, am I applying that verse? No. So he has called us into obedience to the apostles' teaching, which means that we obey and we walk in accordance with the teachings of Scripture. So learning gives me God's principles to live by, doesn't it? I walk in that movement. It also says they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? To the fellowship. They were committed to one another. They were committed to one another. Because fellowship gives me God's people to live with. We get to live out this faith with each other, don't we? I need Doug, right? I need Chris. I need these people. I need John and Sandy. We need each other, right? We need one another to walk along and build this faith because we can do more together than what we can do by ourselves. And so we need Brad and Laura. We need the people that God's using to build up and to be so that we can be that holy temple that spreads his love. Everyone is important. And they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of bread that was worship. See, worship gives me God's power to live on. I need to worship God. I was created to worship God. I was made to worship him. I have to lift up his name. I've got to honor him. And man, isn't it great to be able to do that with a bunch of people? I mean, I can sing by myself in the car. And that's fine. But there's something about being with God's people. With one voice singing praises to our Lord. Because I see an awful lot of praising to secular people in our world today, don't you? We can get excited and shout about a lot of things in this life, but there is one who's worthy of our praises, and that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship him. Are you worshiping him? Do you come to worship him? To lift up your voice, to lift up your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you today because there's power in that. Amen? And they were devoted, it says, to prayer. And prayer gives me God's presence to live in. We need to pray. We're going to pray. We need to pray individually, together as a church, with one another, for one another. We get to pray to God. Do you understand what that means? We have direct access to God. The very one who created you and made you and knows you and loves you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. We can talk to him and cry out to him and cast our cares upon him because he does care for us. But so often we don't pray. We don't take advantage of this great opportunity to call to the God who loves us and saves us. I say, Lord, how do you want me to, what do you want me to do? I want to follow you. I want to be part of this movement. Lord, lead me and guide me. May I love, trust you. Lord, I'm scared. I'm hurting. All, whatever. Prayer is powerful. We get raised into the presence of God. Then it says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. What was going on here? Giving and serving. Giving and serving. You see, giving gives me God's passions to give to, and serving gives me God's professions to live out. There's a great cause, his kingdom. I can sacrifice my time, my energy, and my resources so that the kingdom of God expands and grows, and that we serve and help one another, serve those who are hurting, and serve the help the lost and reach out. And we can do this in a greater way together than what we can individually. Right? That's why he calls us to be together. We're in a movement. And then it says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Day by day. Daily. They were an inviting church, were they not? They were an inviting church. They were sharing the gospel. They were declaring the gospel. They were living out the gospel. And they were inviting other people to participate with them. And the Lord was adding to their number daily those who are being saved. We get a chance to share the gospel to a lost world. We get to tell people about Jesus. Do you understand that? Does that not excite you? Huh? We get to tell people about Christ. We get to tell people about how they can be saved from their sin and delivered. We get to tell people about Jesus. Does that excite you?
Amen.
We have the privilege telling people about Jesus. If you had a rare disease and you went to a doctor and he had a cure and you were healed and delivered, you would immediately go tell somebody. I mean, you'd be telling everybody. You'd be saying, you'd be calling every single person that had that same disease, and you'd say, you need to go see this doctor because they've got the cure, right? Would you? How many of y'all would do that? Raise your hand if you would do that. If you don't raise your hand, you're lying, because I know you would. We all would. We would all do that. Why? Because we're like, man, I've been healed, and I've got friends and family members who got that same disease, and they can be healed. Well, can I tell you something? We've all got this disease called sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And there's one physician that's got the healing, and his name is Jesus. And he died for our sin, and I've been healed. I've been delivered. I've been made whole. So why am I not telling people? Why does the church not tell people? Why do we not tell the gospel? Why do we not share the gospel with people? Why do we go silent? We can feed people, but not tell them about Jesus. Now, we need to feed people, but we need to feed people and tell them about Jesus. There's all kinds of agencies out there, and we do it as a church. We help clothe people. And it's good to clothe people, but we don't just need to clothe people and not tell them about Jesus. Do you hear me? Because if all we do is feed them and clothe them, they go to hell not hungry and not cold. Do you hear that? Their greatest need is Jesus. Because when we die, there is a heaven and there is a hell. It doesn't matter what our culture says and what some pop culture preachers say. There is a hell. Jesus spoke on that. And why we don't tell our friends, why we don't invite people to join the movement of God, I do not know. We'll invite them to a concert. We'll invite them to a game. We'll invite them to eat. We'll invite them to a thrill park. We'll invite people to a movie. But we don't invite them to Jesus. We're missing being able to be part of the greatest movement ever. You're missing eternal opportunities. We got revival coming up. Some of you's gonna blow it off. Say, I don't need revival. If that's your attitude, you're the very one who needs it. Some of you are gonna be like, well, as long as I can just make it one day out of it. No. You say, well, I'm already saved. Well, what about your friends, a family member, someone when you work with that they don't know Jesus? They need to be invited where the gospel will be proclaimed and the Spirit of God will move and give them an opportunity to join this thing we call the church. Will you invite people into this movement? Will you join the cause of Christ? Will you step out and say, I'm going to live my life for Him? Now, we're going to activate some things this morning, right this morning during the invitation, okay? We're going to pray for Aaron, okay? And during invitation, I'm going to ask everyone who wants to pray for him to come, and you come and pray at the altar, okay? I called his dad this week and talked to Chris, and he said, Grant, he said, you got a large church. He said, will you ask him to pray for my son? He asked him to pray for my son. You know, and as a dad, I'm thinking if my son was in that situation right now, I want everybody who loves the Lord praying for him. I said, you better believe we'll pray for him. So we're going to pray for him, church. We're going to activate one of the expressions of this movement that we call church, and it's called prayer. And we're going to pray that God will do a miraculous healing, just like they saw in Acts. Wonders were done. So we're going to pray. We're also going to give you an opportunity to give to them. There's going to be a couple guys standing at both doors as you leave. If you want to give a love offering, you want to bless that family, they're not able to be at work like they need to be, and there's going to be a lot of medical things. And if you're like, man, I didn't come prepared, I don't have anything to give, you can bring it next week. Note it on the memo. If you give a check, make it out to Living Water Church and put in the memo for what it's for, and it will go to this family. We'll bless them. Okay? We're going to activate the church this morning. We also need to pray for that family. I don't know the name. There was another young man that lost his life in Bath County. Pray for that family. Young people, look at me. Look at me. All the young people. Do you see how sudden life is? The greatest thing in your life is not making a 4.0 in your GPA and to graduate valedictorian of your school. Though that would be a good thing. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing isn't being the star athlete in your school. The most important thing is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? So I'm going to ask you all to come and pray. Pray for Aaron. Lift him up. And I'm going to be right here. And if you've never surrendered and asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, I want you to come and say, Grant, man, I need to get saved. I need to give my life to Christ. I need to be a part of this beautiful thing called the church, because I enter it through Jesus. And if that's you, would you come? Would you allow God to work in your heart, soul, and your mind this morning? So let's stand. Let's pray. We're going to sing. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we get to be part of the greatest movement ever. And that is your church. And Lord, I thank you that you love us and that you've called us and you've died for us and that you've empowered us. And so, Father, as we come, we're going to lift up Aaron before your throne. And I know many people around our county and probably people across states, we're asking you to do a miracle and bring healing on this young man's life, Father. Lord, we pray for that family that lost their child. We pray your comfort, that you send the right people into them to speak your life and love over them. Lord, if there's anyone this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may they step out and say, man, I need to know Jesus. I want to be part of this movement. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. I want to know Christ. Would they come this morning? Lord, have your way in our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's respond. Let's pray. Let's sing. We'll move the chairs back if we need to. Don't worry about the space. Let's pray.